Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, I don't know about you, but I love a good story, and perhaps that's something that you've enjoyed over this summer holiday period. Maybe sitting down with a good book by the beach, or watching a good film with friends and family. For me, historic drama is probably my go-to, but for you it might be epic adventure or a cracking comedy, or maybe a tragedy that moves you to tears. But whatever it is, I think it's true for all of us that we love a good story, don't we? And often we love seeing hypocrisy exposed and the bad guy getting caught, or the underdog rising to triumph. And then, of course, there's always that twist that no one saw coming. Do you love a good story? Well, tonight, at church, welcome. We're looking at a famous story, a very famous story that we've just heard read, that Jesus himself told. And there's something about the stories of Jesus that makes them so powerful, because on the one hand, they seem to get under people's skin and irritate them and even infuriate them, so much so that in many ways it was the stories of Jesus that got him killed. So powerful. On the other hand, the stories of Jesus that turned the early period after Jesus' life, they said it turned the world upside down. And since then, it's been these stories of Jesus that have moved generations, countless numbers of people, to great and good deeds. The stories of Jesus. And our claim in this series is that Jesus, the stories that he tells, are a better story than the stories whirling around our world today. Well, Luke gives us the setting, because, of course, every story has a setting. And actually, it goes back to the chapter before, and we read there in chapter 17, verse 20 and verse 22, that actually there were disciples and Pharisees listening in to Jesus as he was telling these parables. That was the audience. But in verse 9, which we had read for us, that very first verse, Luke tells us that Jesus told this parable to some, particularly to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and who treated others with contempt. So that's his target audience, that's the context here, the setting. And Jesus then introduces us very quickly, doesn't he, to the two characters in the story. Two men. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. Polar opposites, in other words. Chalk and cheese, two extremes. You couldn't get two more different people on the face of the earth. A Pharisee and a tax collector. And you know these characters. The Pharisee, think clean, religious, respectable, a fastidious rule keeper. Think very, very good. Really nice guy. Great neighbor. Wonderful chap. And then, on the other hand, there's the tax collector. Think scum of the earth. Think greedy traitor. I mean, Jews who aligned themselves with the occupying forces of the day, the Roman Empire, to fleece tax money from the poor and the needy within their own community. I mean, these guys were betraying their own people. These guys were sneaky. These guys were greedy. These guys were thieves. Think very, very bad. So there it is, the goodie and the baddie. They're the two characters, the two people who feature in this story. And then, of course, we come to the plot. And the plot here is that both of these men go up to the temple in verse 10. And I take it that the reason they're going up to the temple is to be justified, to get right with God. I mean, that's the whole machinery of the temple, isn't it? Sacrifice and offerings, and getting right with God, and in order to be acceptable to God. to put things right, in order to relate to a holy God, in order to draw near, to come close to God, and somehow find favor with the sovereign God of the universe. And so both of them go, both of them stand, we're told. That seemed to be the posture for prayer in those days as you come to the temple. Both of them, we're told, come and both go up to the temple, both stand, both pray, and both go home. Now, the Pharisees loved to stand and pray in the synagogues and even on the street corners, so that they could be seen by other people. And so now here we've got this Pharisee, and he's come, he's not on the street corner. He's not even in the synagogue. He's come to the temple itself. And so you can imagine him there, can't you? You can imagine him sort of floating in with his flowing robes and all the pomp and the ceremony of a public performance, posing for the people and confident in himself and standing by himself. Right, you know, he's gone right into the very inner courts of the temple, the place where only very special people could go. Most impressive, this guy. A spectacular show is about to unfold. And he gets off to a very good start, doesn't he? I mean, you can see that there in verse 11. You can see how he begins his prayer. God. That's a good start, isn't it? Things are off to a good direction. God. But notice the very next word. Because all of a sudden, what is unleashed here is a flood of eyes. Did you notice that? I. Not actually five eyes in two verses. You see, this is not so much a prayer, is it, as a resume. This is a recital. A parade of self-praise. It's not a vertical conversation with God. It's a horizontal comparison with other people. Can you see that there? Verse 11, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. And then he goes into the negatives, doesn't he? He says, well, I'm not an extortioner, I'm not unjust, I'm not an adulterer. And then he goes into the positive, doesn't he, in verse 12. I don't do that, but let me tell you what I do. I fast and pray and I give a tithe of all that I have. Apparently, this guy had built his identity and his self-worth around his moral and religious achievements. And it's at this point that we've got to, I think we're meant to laugh. He's very serious, isn't he? He's very serious. But I think Jesus is telling this story and he intends for us to see that this is funny. Because although this man is taking himself very seriously, it's hard for us to take him seriously, isn't it? God, I thank you that I am not like other people. If knowledge puffs up, I mean, this man is about to float off into space, isn't he? This is a caricature that is comedy. It's mocking humor that exposes the folly of this Pharisee. His prayer is so permeated with pride. He's so entitled. So self-righteous, so arrogant. If you look at verse 11, I think the footnote, you see verse 11, there's a little asterisk, and I think the footnote is actually quite good. One translation would be that he prayed to himself. And given the content of his prayer, so full of I, that's not a bad translation, is it? And no doubt the devil was quite happy too. With his progress in religion. Just so long, you see, as it made him look sideways. The better he became, the more sanctified his life, the more holy his life looked to others, the greater the good that he could do, the longer that he pursued some sort of law, some sort of code. It doesn't matter whether it's a liberal code or whether it's a moral code. It doesn't really matter. But you see, the more likely then he is to trust not in God, but in his own virtue. But surely he was quite right, wasn't he? I mean, he was actually better. More moral, not a robber. No, he wasn't a robber. Never stole anything. And he wasn't one of those evildoers, was he? No. In fact, he wasn't an adulterer. He lived a moral life. He could say that. And he was more religious. I mean, look at him there. Tithing and fasting. Fasting is kind of funny that he can only think of two things, but he was very religious. And in those things, he was over the top, and he went above and beyond, didn't he? The requirements of the law. Twice a week, fasting. Tithing of everything that he had. And wasn't he right to thank God for these things? Surely that's the appropriate thing to do. I mean, he had been spared of a life of vice and corruption. He'd been spared of a life of violence and substance abuse. He wasn't born into generational cycles of poverty and despair. No, he had been educated. He had employment. And just look at his achievements. He's doing very well. So surely to thank God is the right thing to do. But then he adds, or even like this tax collector. And you can almost hear the disdain, can't you, in this tax collector. You see, the flip side of being puffed up is that you look down. You look down with contempt. And really, it's just two sides of the same coin. Pride and disdain. Ego and condescending superiority towards others. Despising them, disdaining them. Anyone who's different for any reason at all. It's the stuff that makes reading history horrific. You might think of it on the big scale of the evil dictators and their racism and their genocide. But a little closer to home, it's the stuff that makes for all sorts of broken lives, isn't it? But, verse 13, we've only told half the story, haven't we? There's another guy here, the tax collector. And you can see him there, he's standing far off. He's not bold enough, he's not confident enough to come in closer to the temple, closer to those inner circles, those onion layers of the temple, into the Holy of Holies. He's too ashamed. He wouldn't even, it says in verse 13, he would not even lift his eyes to heaven. He's got his head and his eyes down. He can't look anyone in the eye, let alone a holy God. Too ashamed. And we're told he beat his breast. This guy is distraught. This is a real prayer. This is not someone pretending or putting on a show. This is an authentic prayer, isn't it? He's beating his breast. He's crying out. He's saying, God, be merciful to me. A sinner. But here's the twist, and here's the twist that no one saw coming in verse 14. Jesus says, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went home, went down to his house, justified, rather than the other. Now, that should shock us. That's not what we're expecting. It's extraordinary. the opposite to what we think. Jesus says that the man to emulate, the one to follow, the model to look up to, the one to aspire to, I want to be like that person, is the tax collector. Now, surely he's not any better than the Pharisee. Greedy, deceitful, living his life in the pursuit of money. He too despised other people. He too looked down. I mean, think about his life. What is the difference? Colin Buchanan, he's actually just won an award up at Tamworth. He has a kid's song called The Pharisee and the Tax Collector. And in that song it says, at the temple, when they prayed, there was a bad man saved and a good man lost. A bad man saved and a good man lost. We were playing that in the car when our kids were a bit younger. They said, Dad, what is the deal? Why was the good man lost? That's the shock, isn't it? That's the surprise. That's the twist in the story. But the conclusion, that the principle that that Jesus brings this to is verse 14. He says, you see, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Everyone. Read through the pages of the Bible from beginning to end. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. God will bring them down. They might look strong. They might look powerful. They might seem to have the world by the tail, fully in control, but God will bring them down. Everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Well, here's the scary thing. You and I, we don't have to be religious to be like the Pharisee. See, Jesus is not making generalizations about professions and occupations, giving us a career path. That's not what Jesus is doing here, is it? He might have been telling the story in the earshot of the Pharisees, but he was looking the disciples in the eyes. And he was saying, this man was justified. This man went home right in the eyes of God rather than the other. What does that mean for the other? He was condemned. All that good, all that morality, all that righteousness, all that religion. See, we may not... See, Jesus is showing us a very powerful thing here, isn't it? A very powerful insight. That how we view other people, how we speak of them, how we think of them, is actually very telling about where our relationship is with God. Can you see it? The two sides of the coin? One side is pride. And the manifestation of that is contempt of other people. And when a holy God looks on that, he condemns it. He condemns the person. See, we may not have prayed a prayer like the Pharisee. We may not have been to the temple and prayed a prayer like that. But boy, we've done it around the dinner table, haven't we? The way we talk about other people. Done it in the tea room at work. Oh, so and so. Them. They do this. Not me. I'm like that. In the car. You're debriefing and the way we're talking about other people. On the phone. Often it's the people closest to us, isn't it? That we... It comes out. our contempt for other people. We're looking down on them because they're not like us. And we, well, this is the narrative we're telling in our heads. This is what's on constant play. And it's this game of comparisons. Our self-talk is, well, I'm not like that. I'm more committed, more diligent. I work harder, longer, quicker. I'm better educated. I've traveled more. I'm more experienced, more skilled. And we, all the good stuff in our lives and even all the bad stuff. I've been through more. I've suffered more. And they haven't been like that. So how would they know? And we pile it up, don't we? And we pile it up in order to puff ourselves up, in order to think about ourselves as better than other people. And the thing is, 9 times out of 10, it's actually true. Just like the Pharisee, he was a better man, a more religious man, a more moral man. He did tithe everything he had and fast twice a week. But Jesus is saying, don't look at comparisons with others to justify yourself before God. How righteous you are, how moral you are, how religious you are, how you compare to other people does not matter. It doesn't make a scrap of difference to your standing with God. Isn't that incredible? What a leveler the gospel is. Don't bring your righteous life to God. The scary thing is that the ugly side of the coin will come out in the way we treat others. And the pride on the other side will condemn us before a righteous God. So what's the answer? How are we going to turn off this? It's on constant play. How are we going to stop this comparison game? How can we stop our mind from doing that? The gospel is the only answer. Every other religion, it only leads us down that Pharisee path, doesn't it? It makes us more like the Pharisee. Every other religion, because every other religion is about doing more and getting higher on the ladder, climbing a bit higher, achieving more, more moral, more religion. But no, there's a better story. Here it is. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count, consider, think of others as more significant than yourselves. We've got to change the way we're thinking about other people. Let each of you, all of us, we've got to look not just to our own interests, because that's the default, isn't it? No, now we've got to look to the interests of other people. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In Jesus, it's yours. This mind, what mind? The mind. Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he was God. He had the right. All the glory belonged to him. He is God. But he didn't count equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held on to. He emptied himself. He divested himself of all that glory that was rightly his. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Now, I think that's very interesting. Because one way to strike a blow to pride is to serve. Do you remember Jesus? The mundane, the menial, the dirty cleaning of someone else's feet. And then being born in the likeness of men. You remember his birth? What a humble story. the King of Glory. And being found in a human form, it wasn't enough. He humbled himself further. He became obedient. There's another strike to pride, isn't it? To be obedient. To say to another human being, you're fallen, you're broken, you're corrupt. And yet, out of reverence for God, I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to be obedient to you. To be obedient, even to the point of death. Death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him. Everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. David gives us the full script. This tax collector cried mercy. David gives us Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. And against you and you only, it's like there's no one else in the world. Against you and you only have I sinned. I've done what's evil in your sight. So that you may be found justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. You see, right from the get-go, I've been like this, God. Bent on sin. But you delight in truth in the inward being. You're not looking at the outside, the whitewashed tomb of the Pharisee. You want to know what's inside. And you're looking in there. And you're looking for truth in the inward parts. And Lord, teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop. And I'll be clean. Wash me, God, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. The bones that you've broken may rejoice. You see, when we sin, what happens? It's like a broken bone. Something's wrong in our lives, in our worlds. We feel that it's debilitating. Is that you can't step forward into ministry, and you can't step forward into this because you're guilty and you're ashamed. But God, heal those broken bones so that I can feel the joy again. Hide your face from my sin. God, don't look at me. I can't look at you. Don't look at me. I'm ashamed. Blot out my iniquities. Create in me, God, a clean heart. Lord, if only I had a clean heart. But my heart's wicked to the core. Everything I do, even the good things, the best things I do, it turns into pride. It's like a shopping trolley. It always wants to go that way. Sinning. It's bent. It's crooked. Deceitful above all things. But God, would you create in me a clean heart? Would you renew in me a steadfast spirit? Put your Holy Spirit into me? Don't cast me away from your presence, God. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then he goes on, he says, then I'll teach transgressors your ways. God, when you forgive me, when you cleanse me, when you put your spirit in me, then I'm going to step out. I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to go and tell people the gospel and how good you are. And he goes on, he says, God, you don't delight in sacrifice. It's not what you want, is it, God? Or I'll give it. You're not pleased with burnt offerings. God's not after bulls and rams and goats and things, is he? No, here's the thing. The sacrifices of God, Old Testament and New, the sacrifices of God are what? A broken spirit. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, a humble heart, a heart that dares not even look up to God, beats his breasts and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. These, a broken heart and a broken spirit and a contrite heart, these, God, he will never despise. You come to God with your brokenness. He won't turn you away. Never. That's actually what he's looking for. He's not looking for you to come to him with your record, your resume, your goodness, your righteousness. He wants you to come broken. And he'll make something beautiful of your life. If you want to write a better story of your life in 2025, stop the game. Just stop it. Stop it today. Stop the comparing. You're going to need almighty power, aren't you? And pray like that. Come to God like that. And write a better story. Let's pray. Have mercy on us, Lord God. Send us home righteous in your eyes, for we are sinners. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.